Is it better to purchase a drift boat or a raft for fly fishing? Do you know which of these two options is the better all-around purchase if you could only get one? And what about rebuilding an old boat? Is this a realistic option to save money and maybe get into your first boat? Today, you're going to hear the drift boat versus raft debate, and you will find out how my guest today restored a boat that barely held water. This is the Wet Fly Swing podcast, where I show you the best places to travel to for fly fishing, how to find the best resources and tools to prepare for that big trip, and what you can do to give back to the fish species you love. Hey, I'm Dave, host of the Wet Fly Swing podcast. I've been fly fishing since I was a little kid. I grew up around a little fly shop and have created one of the largest fly fishing podcasts in this country. I've also interviewed more of the greatest fly anglers than just about anyone in the world. Adam Hudson is back on the show to take us into his unlikely boat build out story and how he took on this project and what happened, how he finished it up, and where he's heading next. Adam and I debate the benefits of the drift boat versus the raft. We find out which raft he recently purchased that has a hard floor, and we also get his top streamer patterns from Blue Line. Plus, we're going to hear what it was like to finally row this boat down the Green River and whether it passed the test. The battle of the boats is finally here. Let's get into it. Adam Hudson from BlueLineFlies.com. How you doing, Adam?
Good, Dave. Thanks for having me back. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think the first episode we talked, it was episode 540. We talked kind of fly design, Blue Line flies. We talked like smallmouth bass, some things that you do that a little bit differently out there. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes so people can get caught up on your background. And then today, we're going to talk boats because you're, you know, we also talked to the last one about your Land Rovers and stuff, but this is going to be a boat build out kind of awesome story here. And we're going to talk rafts and drift boats too, to give somebody an idea of what they need to know before they kind of think about getting a new boat. So that's where we're at. Maybe take us back since the last episode. It wasn't that long ago, but maybe, you know, this year, Blue Line Flies, tell us a little bit about, for somebody who didn't catch that last one, who you are and what you do out there.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a fly company. I mean, that's my bread and butter is selling flies, but we kind of got started out specifically for bass flies. So I used to work in a shop, and I was also a buyer in the Southeast. And the majority of people in the U.S., the nearest game fish to them is a bass. It's not a trout. And when I was purchasing bass flies, I found it difficult to find flies that were really specifically made for bass that weren't poppers. It was easy to find poppers. That was pretty standard. But the rest of the flies out there were really, what I was finding were either repurposed trout flies or saltwater flies. And so I kind of saw this big hole in the market for creating bass flies. And out of necessity, we kind of started tying our own for these reasons. Then I started having people, you know, really being interested in purchasing bass flies from me. So we started getting my patterns produced specifically for bass. Really excited. We just brought on our first signature tire, another guy who had a similar scenario to me out of Chattanooga Creek Flies, and Adam Kennan. He's got a really cool crawfish pattern that he developed that we brought him on, and we're producing his fly now. So we're starting to produce flies for a couple other folks. And then I moved to Salt Lake City a couple years ago, and I really started kind of developing a lot more of our trout streamers from around Salt Lake, Montana, Idaho, Wyoming. I've really kind of been, over the past couple of years, trout fishing a lot more since I'm out here. But my business partner, Steven, or, you know, from the videos, Hobo Steve.
Hobo Steve, right.
Hobo Steve still lives in Huntsville. He still does a ton of smallmouth fishing, smallmouth design. My parents still live in North Alabama as well. So I travel home a lot to be able to still do a lot of smallmouth bass fishing and a largemouth, shoal bass, spotted bass. We've got a lot of really cool black bass species, as well as striper around us. So we really kind of got started focusing on the bass flies, but then trout flies over the past couple years have started to pick up for us.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a great intro. And we may have asked you on this on the last one, but yeah, I go back to this because I'm interested. North Alabama versus Utah. I've been all around Utah and the West, but what about North Alabama? What is the, now that you've lived in both, how is the fishing? I mean, obviously different species, but are there any similarities between the two places?
there's not very many similarities.
There's not.
You know, in Utah, unless you're, you know, going way out in the middle of nowhere, you know, you can go camp all weekend and not see anybody, but you know, you definitely can't go get on the rivers around Salt Lake and have it to yourself very often. But that is still the cool thing with Alabama is you can do that. You may see the occasional group of kayakers or canoers come past you, but that's about it. The season certainly, I think, is a little longer, and at least the nice weather lasts a lot longer back home. So, you know, you probably have a little more of that, but definitely a lot more versatility around Salt Lake. And, you know, truthfully, I don't fish around Utah a ton because there's not a lot of big water. One of my keys to success that I guess we are going to end up talking about here a little bit later is, especially with streamer fishing, is floating. And floating rivers and that kind of thing. I really got interested in doing that a while back with my smallmouth, and I'm definitely still into that kind of mindset with trout. I do like to wade fish quite a bit, but even then, taking the boat, being able to get away from, you know, boat ramps and public access spot has definitely been one of our keys to success for catching bigger fish, more fish, better fish. Fishes just aren't getting pressured like they maybe are around the public waiting access. So that's definitely been one of my things. So I tend to fish a lot of Idaho, Wyoming, Montana.
That's it. Okay, great. And I think today, you know, definitely I want to touch on streamers a little bit more there. And then also maybe we'll talk about some tips on, you know, kind of choosing a boat, like we said. But I want to start with this story about this boat build out, because we had a season, you know, a drift boat season a while back, and we talked about, you know, lots of the people building boats, and it was really interesting. But you have this movie out there. Maybe talk about that a little bit. Take us back into that first. What is this about, and why did you get into building your own boat?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd never had a hard boat before. I'd only had rafts, and I still am a big proponent of the raft, which I know you and I are going to get into here a little bit later. But I'd kind of always looked at the wooden drift boats, pretty envious. I think they just look so cool. You know, it's kind of like driving an old classic car versus, you know, a brand new car. It's not as good. You know, it's not as technologically advanced. There's no, you know, really cool names of, you know, polymers and stuff that I can't pronounce. You know, it's just, I just think there's something cool about them. I've always wanted to redo a wooden boat. And I knew last year I was going to be fishing a little bit less because we just had our first kid. And so I wanted to have a project that I could kind of work on, you know, nights, weekends, just in the middle afternoon, you know. So I ended up putting something out on our Instagram that asked if anyone had a wooden drift boat that was in need of repairs. I didn't want to start totally from scratch. Just I didn't think I had the time, but at least if someone could give me a blueprint of something that was, you know, at least somewhat done, maybe could float, but needed, you know, some work. So put that out into the Instagram sphere. And one of our fans from North Carolina hit me up and said, "Hey, man, I've got this boat, you know, and I'd be happy to trade you some flies for it." So I said, "Well, that's a pretty good deal." So I gave him a shirt, a hat, a bunch of our, you know, a bunch of stickers and koozies and all that kind of stuff, plus a pretty big bag of flies for his area. And when I was actually at home back in North Alabama guiding for about a month. And while I was there, I ended up picking up this boat from him in North Carolina. So I've actually got to send you this photo. It's pretty funny. I had my trailer with my raft that I was guiding out of that I'd driven from Salt Lake. Then I went and bought another boat and trailer. So I had to get all this whole rig back to Salt Lake. And I ended up breaking down the raft, and I put the raft into the drift boat. And then I broke the trailer down. I connected the trailer to a front end loader and lifted the wooden boat and on its trailer on top of my flatbed for my deck over for my raft.
All right.
Strapped all that down and then drove that back from Alabama to Salt Lake.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
So finally had the boat back in Salt Lake, and we went to kind of test it out. It was pretty funny. When I first got the boat, I wanted to, before I drove it across the country, I did put it in a golf course pond.
Oh, you did?
To see if it would float, just to see, like,
yep.
Okay, is this thing even, like, should I just burn this as scrub, or, right. Like, is this thing even worth bringing back to Utah? I had my dad drive me over to help me launch this boat, and he was just looking at me like, no way. This
right.
You see a lot of doubt. But, so, it ended up floating. Took it back to Salt Lake, and I was like, well, to even know where to really start with this thing, of course, I had some ideas, but as you alluded, we were going to shoot this as a video on our YouTube series. So I wanted to take the boat out and not having rebuilt it at all, not having done really anything at all to it. So we took it up to a river that we like to fish, launched it, and floated it all day to, you know, see what kind of problems it had. And to give me a really good idea of, you know, okay, this is what we need to fix. This is what we need to get right in this boat before we can actually, you know, either guide out of it or, you know, take clients or just, you know, enjoy fishing out of it ourselves.
Right. And what is this? So I guess first off, can we see this video or what the boat looks like before and after now?
Yeah, absolutely. I do have, I've got some before and after photos. Our full YouTube video is not out just yet. We just got that last piece filmed, so it is currently in editing. Hopefully, we can have it out, and we can link it to this by the time the podcast drops.
Gotcha. Yeah. So basically, on Instagram, there might be some photos of the boat, the old boat there.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And we can post that. I can send you some of these photos that you could put up, or we can also hopefully the YouTube video will be live by the time this is out.
Oh, good. Good. And then we'll put links out to that stuff in the show notes as well. So okay, good. And so describe maybe the boat. Do you know, was this a homemade boat? Was there a name of the manufacturer, all that stuff?
No name, no VIN number, no nothing.
So somebody made this drift boat like on the side. Do you know anything about that?
That is what it looks like. The guy who I got it from really didn't know much about the boat, the history of the boat, though he does know, he was also with me. He's 90% sure that this thing was just a homemade drift boat job from probably like the 80s to 90s is about the time frame that I would imagine.
Okay. So that gives us a picture. And I'm guessing, is this kind of your standard, you know, you got the two boats. We've talked about this before I'm going back here, Roger Fletcher. This was episode 177. And he talked about the history of drift boats. And he talked about when this got started and the styles. You got the Mackenzie style, the Rogue style. But now you have a lot of skiffs and things like drift boats that don't have a pointy bow. Is this like your typical pointy bow drift boat, like you'd think, traditional drift boat?
Yep, really traditional looking. Definitely, if you picture drift boat in your head, this is it.
Okay, so that's it. Awesome. All right, so we got this boat. And so walk us through a little bit how this went together. And we can watch the video here, but give us an idea. So you test this boat. What's that look like? Just give us a little summary.
Yeah, so it was bad. it was really bad. The oar locks did not hold the oars in place. So the oars, as you're rowing, at the most inopportune time would pop out of the oar locks, which is obviously pretty dangerous. The anchor system, it had like a ski rope, like a water skiing tow rope as the anchor, not like a nice, you know, I don't know, cloth anchor rope. So it wouldn't hold in the cam that he had. So you'd be floating and the anchor would just release.
Not good.
Again, it always released at the worst time. But the boat was extremely tippy because the way the seats were mounted in it was they were mounted really high. Like they weren't mounted from the floor up. They were mounted across the top of the boat. So all of the weight, when you would sit down or, you know, as you were sitting and rowing or, you know, whatever, all of the weight was distributed at the very top of the boat. And so it was extremely tippy. The oars that we were given with the boat, and again, I wanted to fish everything as it was, we nicknamed them the splinter givers. They were just some really old, really bad oars that if you opened your hand, the oar would still stay connected because of all the splinters that it was stuck to you. So anyways, it was the frame layout was really bad. The rowing position was horrible. It was not a very good day.
There you go.
So it was a lot of fun. It was really worth going to check out. It is a 13-foot boat. So it's a pretty short drift boat. And so we had at a point, we grabbed the guy who was shooting the video to put him in the back of the boat. So, because it is a three-man boat. It was set up as a three-man boat. And we grabbed the videographer to put him in the back. And the boat, like, very unsafely was sitting, you know, way too far back. It looked like we were doing a wheelie.
Yep.
And there was only about an inch between the chine of the top of the boat and the water.
Oh, wow.
So you really won't see any different footage from in the boat from that one. And then also in that first float, we realized that the transom was extremely soft.
Right.
So we had put the anchor down and we were going to kind of slide it. We were out of the boat. We were going to slide it around. And I go to pull the transom and it had a lot of give.
Ooh.
A lot of it. So.
And the transom is that the front piece of the boat?
That would be the very rear, like where the anchor piece comes. So we go to like grab it and kind of, I'm going to slide the boat. You know, we've just gotten it launched. I'm going to go slide the boat off the trailer into the water and, you know, kind of get it set back up before we, you know, hop in. And yeah, I go to pull it and that whole transom just is very soft.
Yeah. Wow.
So I knew after the end of the first day, we definitely had our work cut out for us.
Gotcha. Wow. So this is it. So you got this boat that's basically barely floating. It's got all sorts of issues. So what's the next step? So it sounds, I'm guessing you made it on that to the takeout. You didn't sink the boat. is that the case? And then what was the next steps to get this thing ready to go?
Yeah. Did not sink the boat. Fortunately, got it to the takeout. Truthfully, the fishing wasn't very much of a priority on that trip because we were almost more trying to get the boat down the river safely than we were focused on fishing. But we caught a cool fish, cool brown trout, and you know, we kind of christened the boat with a cool brown. So got it back to Salt Lake, and step one was just start unbolting everything. So from our series, that essentially is episode one. You'll see, you know, me getting it back to Salt Lake in our first trip. Episode two, as it comes out, is going to be us totally rebuilding the boat in my side yard and garage. So I knew that I needed a lot of work done. I had to totally change the frame, you know, the inside of the boat to make sure that all of the weight was on the floor and not high on the sides to fix it being so tippy.
Trout Routes is the most comprehensive mapping app for trout anglers. With over 50,000 trout streams, 350,000 access points, public land maps, and more, Trout Routes is the number one resource for navigating, researching, and exploring trout streams. You can download Trout Routes for free in the App Store today. Just search for Trout Routes on your phone and take your exploration to the next level. That's Trout Routes, TROUTROUTES. And how did you learn this, Adam? How did you learn to teach? Do you have a background in wood building? Because this isn't like the easiest piece of thing to do, right?
It was not super easy, and I do not have a background in wood building.
Okay.
So there was a lot of just trial and error. There's a lot of Google. But, you know, as far as the weight distribution, I mean, certainly no one told me that, but I felt like that's relatively obvious that we need to get the weight down in the bottom of the boat, not the top of the boat. So started kind of unbolted everything, took all the old oar locks, all that stuff out. The bottom of the boat, you could definitely see there was fiberglass coming off. There was there was exposed wood, like actual wood floor, not fiberglass on the bottom. So that was probably one of the actually bigger challenges, was not doing any of the wood. It was the fiberglass and epoxy stuff that we had to start doing on the boat. So we got everything off, sanded the entire boat. I mean, that took me a long time to sand. I mean, I sanded everything down to all the bare wood on the outside. Got a new layer of fiberglass put on the floor, kind of started then building out, redoing the interior. I knew that I needed to kind of change around my weight. So as I said, the rowing position and the fishing positions were not very good. So I ended up giving the guy up front a little more room. I had to add in a new casting deck and a longer casting deck up front to give the guy up front some more room to fish. I moved the rower seat forwards a little bit because, again, remember there I said the dimensions were not very good for, and the weight distribution for having a third person in the boat did not work. So I moved the rower forward a little bit and lower to be able to actually get into a better rowing position. We had to build new oar locks. So I built, or not oar locks, but the actual mounts for the oars. And there was some pretty intensive woodwork that needed to be done. And I actually ended up taking it to a buddy in Colorado Springs. He has redone a couple of transoms and is a little bit better woodworker than I am. So I called on him to get him to help me rebuild the transom and do some of the more intricate woodworking. So definitely turned into a whole process and brought in some friends and some other people to help me out here. So we got the transom redone. He put in a whole new transom. I ended up putting in dry boxes for the rower seat. He built a little frame to be able to hold a big waterproof hard-sided plastic box. So we put that in the middle. I put a Yeti 45 in the front, which also that's going to help me with as I can fill that with ice to help counterbalance the guy in the rear. I moved the rear seat 8 inches forwards and put it as close to the ground or the floor of the boat as I could. So that helped that out. We got new oar locks. We redid an entire new anchor system, which again, that was huge. So the anchor wasn't just falling out. I talked to Regal, the same people that make vices, fly tying vices. They make a lot of cool boat parts. And actually, I didn't even know that myself. I found them. In Googling, was looking for some different drift boat parts and came across, like, you know, if you had a Clackacraft, of course, a really popular drift boat. I was looking for the stomp pedal, like, you know, how a drift boat would have, where you hit the pedal in the middle right below the rower with your foot so that you can still row and operate the anchor and drop the anchor without letting go of the oars. So I was like, well, I'd love to have something like that. And in Googling, I found that Regal made some of these parts. I reached out to them and they were happy enough to help me out. So we had a stomp pedal there for the anchor. They also gave me oar locks that were really great with the oars that we got, which were some Sawyers. And they also helped me out with the little extension piece that goes off the back with the pulleys for you to mount on the rear of the boat, that metal piece that sticks out behind the boat for your anchor. So to keep it away from banging up against the wood. So they helped me out with all that. That was awesome. So we got those in there. I had a gentleman out of Oklahoma called the Trout Boat Captain. He's got some really cool woodworking stuff. He makes seats for coolers and rowers benches out of some really cool epoxied wood. So he built me these really cool wood benches for the boat to sit on top of the cooler and on top of the that hard plastic box that we put in the middle. And then one of the other big things is, once I got a lot of the fiberglass work done, is I wanted to protect the bottom of the boat. So we put a whole coat of Wetlander on the bottom of the drift boat.
Right.
And so talking to those guys over at Wetlander was also pretty interesting, because it's less about actually protecting the boat from impact. It's more about having the bottom be really slick so that when you do hit something, it slides over it, which was really pretty cool to kind of understand how does a boat get like this get damaged. So we got that Wetlander coating on, and really, and then a whole new paint job around the outside. So the Wetlander is, of course, just on the bottom. Then we did a navy blue outside, which is a type of paint that I use specifically for boats that waterproofs. So it's like, it kind of feels like it's got a lot of plastic in it. So it like waterproofs the outside of the boat.
Wow. So you redid this whole boat. It sounds like you pretty much refinished. how long did this boat build out take you, a rebuild?
Yeah, kind of on and off. It took me about 7 months.
Hmm. 7 months. That's not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It was pretty tough. It was definitely more than I bargained for, which, I should have known going in that, you know, by getting a old wooden drift boat was not going to be, was going to end up being more difficult than I thought, but it certainly was.
How does it, so now have you had it out on the water a few times now that, is it completed? It's all ready to go?
It's all done now. It's ready. We just took it out for the inaugural test run, we went and floated the Green River in Utah, which if any of you folks know that one, it's got a cup, nothing super crazy, but it's got a couple of, you know, little more rapids. I don't even know what class rapids those would be for those of you who haven't been over there. But it's got some, it's some technical water. I mean, there's certainly people sink drift boats in that stretch. We went and floated a stretch, and I brought in one of my buddies, Colby Crossland, who's a guide down there. He is, I mean, he makes his living rowing a drift boat. That's what he does, is he rows a drift boat on the A stretch of water. So I brought him in to kind of help me out and be like, all
sure,
right.
Sure, smart.
You know, what do you think? You know, give us a review. What's your personal opinion of this boat? So we went and floated it. There was a lot of things that went way better. It was way less tippy. The boat actually rose incredibly well, especially having the new oar locks and anchor the anchor not falling off the boat.
Yeah.
And having some appropriate oars for the boat. It actually rose incredibly well, but drafts pretty shallow. Overall, I was actually pretty impressed with it.
Yeah. So you took it down. So no problems down the green. You guys got it. And then in the takeaway from the Green River expert, he said did he row some of the section?
Oh yeah. 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 He and I swapped in and out rowing and fishing. And, so he got to see both the cat from the center seat and how it was to fish out of it. And, he gave it the thumbs up. He said it was not the worst boat that he's ever been in.
There you go.
Which is high praise.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, drift boats, it is, you know, it's interesting because I've been in some boats that maybe didn't have the best design. And sometimes you notice, especially when you get a lot of weight in the boat, you know, it makes it. But the cool thing about the smaller boats is I think they drag less, so they're maybe more maneuverable. So I'm guessing that 13 foot was more, you probably didn't pack it with a bunch of gear, or was this like a day trip? So you guys just went down with a couple of guys?
Yep, just a day trip. Definitely with two people in that boat, it's awesome. We had three in it, and it is not really meant for three people.
No, it's a two-person boat. Yeah.
It's a two-person boat, but it's a two-person boat, and it kind of gets, and I guess we can start leaning into this probably, it rows because it is shorter. You kind of get that maneuverability of the raft little more than 16-ish foot drift boat that most people, you know, may be familiar with. You really can kind of spin the thing left and right a lot easier than one of those longer boats. But you get the positives of, you know, it tracks a lot better than a raft.
Yeah, so it's fast, a little faster and all that.
Yeah, definitely rows faster. You can back row a lot easier. You can hold yourself in place and slow down and speed up. You can move, you know, cover water a lot quicker. So it kind of was cool because you had like the good parts of a drift boat and some of the good parts of, and the maneuverability of a raft.
Right. That's awesome. Well, this is good. So I love this conversation and where you're taking it now, because we're going into the raft versus the drift boat. And this is going to be our, I'm not sure what we'll call this. Maybe we'll have a series here, the raft versus drift boat, and have people chime in. But I know drift boats pretty well. I've been in quite a few my whole life. I've rowed a lot of rafts too, but probably not as much. And it sounds like you've kind of rowed a lot more rafts. So are you ready for maybe a little breakdown of the benefits and drawbacks for each of the boats?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, good. And so, I mean, people listening now, there might be a few people out there that, you know, are thinking like, man, I've been wanting to get a boat. Do I get a raft? Do I get a drift boat? Right. So let's give you rafts. So we're going to give you rafts and I'll take drift boats.
Okay.
And we'll kind of go head to head on what we think are maybe the benefits. Or unless this is all, you know, we're shooting from the hip here, but does that sound pretty good to you?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. So let's go back. Let's start with the raft. So let's just say top five things that, you know, and we've talked a little bit about them, but what do you love about the raft versus, say, a drift boat now that you've been in both of them? What do you think is the one, what does the raft have that the drift boat doesn't?
I mean, I would say the number one thing, maybe, and especially for folks who are listening to this, who are interested in boats or getting into a boat, is that if you buy a raft, I'm relatively confident putting just about anyone on the sticks of my raft.
Right.
Where, you know, if you know, you've got your fishing buddies, and I'm sure you're going to say this about your drift boat for sure, that if once you purchase a boat, you don't fish out of your own boat.
Yeah.
Very often.
That's right.
If you have a boat, almost certainly you're going to be rowing. until you get maybe some buddies, some other friends who do know how to row. You teach them how to row. But the number one thing for my raft is that I can put just about any, I can take just about anyone as long as we're not on some crazy water. You know, even if you've never rowed a boat, you can get, I can get you to get a raft down the river. Even if you hit every rock and tree in the river, it's not as big of a deal. I don't mind if you, you know, obviously there's, you know, you don't want to high center it on a rock and wrap it around a rock or get stuck in a log jam.
Yeah, yeah.
But definitely. Even if it's just like most of the stuff that we ever go over, you know, even if it's a little bit of a wave train and you hit it sideways in our big, you know, fishing raft, you're not going to have a problem.
Yeah, that's it. Okay. So I think so. So I think the take home is it's kind of more forgiving, right? The raft, you can make some mistakes, and so I will accept that is a good first benefit. I will say that like you said, I've been in a situation a couple where I go back to one where I let one of my buddies row the raft down through like a class 3+. Maybe it was a big rapid, and we got in some trouble.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I said, well, I probably shouldn't let him row through a class 3+, but I do think that you're right. You're right. The forgiving. So that is one. So that's a good start. I'm going to say on my number one for drift boats over rafts is, I'm going to go to, this is kind of hard because I think even skiff's a drift boat. So I'm just going to say drift boats are better in the wind for getting down the river. If you've got a lot of windy conditions, you can put stuff. They're kind of more, I'm not going to say more comfortable, but you can just get down the river faster. What do you think about that? Do you think that's a valid
benefit
of the drift boat?
Oh, yeah. That's a huge plus in your column, not the raft column. Rafts are way worse in wind. Just because that drift boat, you can just move water. If you forward row in a drift boat or you're back rowing against the wind, you can actually get down river where, I mean, you've really got to put a lot of work and effort into rafts. I feel like they just get blown around a lot worse. I'm sure there's some hydrodynamics and some physicists can comment on how that works, but there is something about the way that a drift boat sits in the water where it almost grips the water better than the raft, which just gets blown around on top. So that is a huge pro. If you live somewhere that is windy, you know, you don't see a lot of rafts over in Wyoming.
No. Yeah, you don't. That's
those
right.
Guys have a lot of those low side skiffs.
That's right. Yeah, the skiffs. That's it.
If you live somewhere windy, I would definitely say that's a huge drift boat pro.
Okay. All right. Good. And we'll see how many we can get through. But let's go number two. What would you throw out as rafts versus drift boat? How does the raft? How is it better than the drift boat?
At least for me, in the way that I got into the raft in the first place, was that we do not have in the South a lot of boat ramps.
Oh, right.
On rivers. So, and pretty much everywhere we fish around the South, Tennessee, Alabama has high water mark, you know, laws. So you're allowed to be in the water as long as you get in, you know, somewhere off like a bridge or something. And there's a lot of places that we could not get a drift boat into the water. There's places that we stop on a bridge and literally throw the boat off of a bridge. You know, there's places that we have to take the drift boat or the frame off of the rubber, carry the frame, you know, down like a walking trail, you know, picking it up sideways to get through trees and stuff, through the woods to get down to the river. So that's my big take and probably my number two reason to pick a raft is if you do not have very good boat ramps.
That's awesome. No, I love that one because that's the kind of the diversity, better river access, pretty much wherever you want to go, right? You can go, not only can you bump into stuff when you're in the water, but getting there, you can get your boat into more tight places. There's no way you're going to, well, you could slide your boats down through certain things, but you're not really picking up your drift boat and carrying it down a trail for the most part, right? So that's a good one.
Yeah, so that is big for us. And I don't do that as much out here in the West, but definitely back in the Southeast, that is a really big one for me, is to have the raft that I can really be able to access just about any piece of water, can walk it down to.
That's awesome. All right. Well, I'm going to take, and again, I'm going with mine. I've got a 17-foot Koffler in my driveway, and it's a big aluminum boat. So it's a lot different, you know, than these, maybe some of the skiffs out in Montana and things like that. But the one thing I love about this boat is I can set that thing and it just sits outside. I don't have it in a garage. I've got it tipped up so water just pours out of it, and it doesn't have to go inside. So one big thing, and again, I guess this in general, I guess you wouldn't want to do that with a wood boat, But I feel like drift boats, for the most part, are maybe a little more durable, like a raft. You kind of have to take care of it. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I think that's probably true. There's a little less maintenance with a drift boat than there is with a raft. I could certainly give you that. You know, with my raft, you got to treat the rubber with that, you know, 303, and, you know, cleaning it is much more difficult because you have to use a kind of a special soap to be able to actually clean the thing, because like Dawn dish soap doesn't, you know, clean it. And yeah, leaving it outside. If you want to take care of that boat for a long time, you know, and make sure that rubber stays nice, you definitely don't want to leave that thing, you know, dry rot or whatever. Even under a tarp can, you know, I know they say you can put it under a cover, but then the moisture, I think obviously keeping it inside is best. So, yep, that is a plus, big plus on your end for the drift boat.
All right. Well, and let's just go. We'll go maybe one or two more of these. And you got anything else to throw out there on the raft versus the drift boat, how the raft's better?
My big takeaway on it is that the drift boat is nicer once it is in the water, and it's nicer to row. Probably a little more livable. The raft, in my opinion, does everything that the drift boat can do. Because I don't necessarily think there's water that you can take the drift boat in that the raft can't go in.
Yeah, right.
I just think it's once you're there, the drift boat is a little more livable. It's a little nicer. Once you're in the water, you're going down the river, you've got some either clients or you've got, you know, your friends fishing out of it, you're rowing it, it rows nicer. But I don't necessarily think that there's anywhere that you can take your drift boat that I can't take my raft.
That's right. Yeah, so that is a good one. I mean, it can go, a raft can go anywhere, including, well, I mean, there's always going to be some, you know, some both ways, some gray area here, but it can go anywhere. A raft can go in, yes, down through the class, the Grand Canyon, the biggest whitewater in the world, but you're probably not taking, although they do take dories down the Grand Canyon,
right,
you're not taking your drift boat down most of that gigantic where you're filling your boat up with a giant wave over the top, right? That's not happening.
Exactly.
So what would be the title of that one? The title of that would be more diverse, maybe.
Yeah. I think you're just a little less limited with where you can take a raft versus where you could take a drift boat.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so that's a good one. And I'm going to use my number three, what you just said, the comfort, because I always, yep, feel like, although the rafts are very comfortable, when you're in a drift boat, I always say it's kind of like you're in a Cadillac. You know, you're cruising, you got all your stuff. You know, I used to take my dad down the river. He's in his mid-80s now, but he taught me how to row. And then later in his life, as he couldn't row as much, I was taking him down. And when we would go through the rapids, he would be on me all the trip, like, do not get a drop of water on me. You know, that was my thing. If I got him wet, he was pissed. And so it was cool because, you know, with a drift boat, you can do that. You can avoid water. There's wet, you know, because they're just, so I think staying dry, they're more comfortable. Would you say the Cadillac, would you say the drift boats in general, more of the Cadillac versus a raft?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Being in the raft is like, I don't know, sitting in like a sports car.
Yeah.
Like it's just not as comfy. You got to worry about what you're packing with you. You know, it's like a two-seat sports car versus, you know, your drift boat is, you know, like a big Cadillac. You can bring all of your friends. You can bring all the gear you want. Your buddy shows up with a boat bag as well. You're not like, ooh, hold up. I need you to like take some of the stuff out of your boat bag and put it in my boat bag because we can't bring both of these.
Right.
You know, you got to be, you know, kind of careful with how much weight, how much stuff you're putting in the raft. And for sure, I think that is a huge one. And certainly hear a lot of people say like, man, I hate fishing out of rafts.
Right.
You know, I like fishing out of drift boats.
Yeah. Well, there is something too with the hard. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of things we won't cover on this, but yeah, I mean, the drift boat for the most part has a hard bottom. So, you know, you're standing on something hard on a raft, right? You might not always be standing on something, and that makes, yep, fishing a little bit challenging. Right. But,
right.
Okay. Well, the final one we're going to the test finally here is going to be, and this, we might not have answered this, but let's go price. Price is an interesting one, right? Because drift boats have gotten expensive, and I'm sure rafts have gotten expensive. What do you think for this comparable boat that can kind of do a little bit of everything, you know, which one do you think is the lower price?
I mean, I think the raft is the lower price. If you really are trying to ball on a budget and you're a kid, college, high school, you want to start floating, you're tired of just going to waiting access, or you want to go get on some of these bigger water, you know, you can do it a lot cheaper in a raft. Even brand new, you know, you can spend $4,500 or so to $5,000 on a raft set up and be done.
Yeah, and be done.
And I think that's a big difference there with the Raft. Now, I will say certainly rafts are getting more expensive, and there are quite a few rafts that it kind of seems to me the more you spend on a raft, really all it does is it just tries to get closer and closer to being in a drift boat.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right.
So, like, they just act more and more like a drift boat as you spend money on a raft.
That's right. Well, and have you ever heard of this one? Did you know that I think Air or NRS, I think one of those, yeah, they came out with the drift boat raft. Have you ever seen that boat?
Oh, yeah. I remember that thing.
Yeah, they came out with essentially it was a drift boat, but it was made out of raft material. It was a rubber drift boat. And I think, I remember we had the folks on that talked about that on the podcast, and they were saying that, you know, it didn't last, although there was a cult following around, and I think there's probably still a few of those out there. But that was interesting, the raft drift boat. So good. So I think price definitely wins it. I mean, yeah, drift boats, I'm not even sure because I haven't bought one recently. But, you know, I used to think under $10,000 was a new boat. But now I think you're talking $15,000 probably for a lot of these, $20,000 for a drift boat.
Right.
A new boat, which is quite a lot.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, for those of you listening who might be interested in that, you know, certainly the Craigslist and, you know, Facebook Marketplace and that kind of stuff for, you know, some used boats. You know, I'm not saying you couldn't find a raft or a drift boat for, you know, a better price than the other. But, you know, I don't know, Dave, if you're talking just new, for sure, you could be on the water in a boat for $4,500 to $5,000 versus, you know, I think what you said there is a little more true, 10 to 15 in a drift boat.
That's it. Okay. So good. So the raft wins that. And let's just go back. I'm going to take a look back and we'll see each of these. So the first one, the benefit you had was the forgiving boat. So for sure, we're going to give the raft the win on that one. So the raft gets a win. We're going to go, let's go to the next one. We talked about the wind. So that's definitely a drift boat. You know, that's a plus for the drift boat. So we got raft versus drift boat. So we got one and one. We got the boat ramps, better diversity of access, you said, right? So that definitely, I think, for sure is the raft. We have the less maintenance with the drift boat. I think that is a quality. So I think we are pretty much, number three was the Cadillac. So we decided that the drift boat was the more comfortable. And then the diversity of rivers is raft. So, I mean, we were 1-to-1. I think we were good. The price is the differentiator. Although I will throw one more out there is, what about a motor? Right. On some of these things, throwing a motor on a raft might not be the best thing. What do you think about that? Does the drift boat win that one?
Yeah, drift boat wins motor as well. And I would say drift boat also wins just anything still water.
Oh, right. And still water.
Still water. And again, the raft's like the Swiss Army knife, in my opinion. It does a little bit of everything, but it doesn't do anything perfect. But of course, you can take it out on a lake, and we've caught, you know, we've definitely gone still water fishing in the boat. I do have a 2.5 horse that I can put on my raft, but it does not do a lot, especially, you know, they won't get on plane. They don't move water. I mean, it's just like a plow going through the water. Now, it's a whole lot nicer than rowing, you know, and my little 2.5 horse can push my raft about 4.5 to 5 miles an hour. And you're certainly not running it back up river to your boat ramp on a river, but it can be done, but you got me on that one for sure.
Okay. Well, and I think it's always easy to kind of, you know, maybe not choose a winner because there is a lot of similarities. And I will say, I was just looking at, I popped up a Fly Lords. They always do a good job of finding this, and they actually have a battle similar deal, right? And they talked about it. And theirs was, they kind of no clear winner. They kind of went through all these things, I think, and had the same. I'll have to read this. We'll put a link out to that Fly Lords article as well. But I think the take-home message is, yeah, I mean, there's so many different situations for the boats where it is hard to choose a clear winner, right? Would you say that's true, that like picking one, like just to tell somebody, hey, you know, the drift boat's the better or the raft's better, that's hard. It's more like, what is your situation? What do you need it for?
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, we get people ask us all the time, like, oh, should I buy a raft? You know, what should I buy? And it's so hard to say because it kind of depends on where you live. I mean, in my opinion, if you've got boat ramps, you've got a truck that you can store with a trailer and, you know, you're going to trailer the boat. You know, I think that buying a drift boat is a good idea there versus, you know, if you don't have a lot of boat ramps, you you know, want to throw, be able to throw the boat in the bed of a truck or on top of a truck. And, you know, you don't have to have a specifically a trailer for it. And, you know, you don't have the spot to store that kind of boat. And maybe you do want to, you know, fold it up to put it in your garage or something. You know, I think a raft is probably the way to go.
Yep. Definitely. Nice. Okay. Well, we'll leave it there. And I think we'll have folks check in with you and we'll follow up on the boat if they have questions. And we got a bunch of resources with people that both rafts and drift boats. So, and I think, everybody's a little bit different on what their take is. But let's hear on your raft. What is the raft you have? Remind us again. What is the current raft you're running?
So I actually just got rid of, I had a Sotar Strike.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a 13 and a half foot boat, pretty wide raft. I bought it when I was starting to guide a lot, and it really has been a great boat, but I actually just sold it this winter, and I purchased a Let 'Em Run, which is a couple folks from Teton Valley Lodge up in Idaho make a really cool boat. It's got it's an Air Super Puma rubber, so it's a little bit smaller than my Sotar, but they make a proprietary frame that they drop in these airs that's just a really cool frame. And the entire bottom is hard. It's got like a whole hard floor across the entire bottom of the boat.
Wow. Like hard, is it hard as in inflatable or a different type of material?
No. It's like it's some sort of like really hard foam board or something.
Oh, right.
And is connected to the frame, sits on the inflatable floor. So, I mean, it feels like you're standing in a drift boat. It has fiberglass leg locks, just like a drift boat would have, not, you know, little rails. It's as close to a drift boat as I've ever been in a raft.
There you go. Okay, good. So you got a new boat, and that's, I mean, there are a ton of rafts out there, companies doing great stuff. You know, we've seen them all. We've talked to a few of them on, so there's a bunch of different options. But we can have people check in with you if they have questions on the raft. So good. Well, I think we did. I think we did a decent job going down that the raft versus drift boat segment. anything else? So, you know, we'll take it out of here in a little bit. But as far as, you know, boats, rafts, your boat build out. I mean, what's your plan with the boat build out? So you've got this drift boat now. Do you interchangeably say, well, I'm going to take the drift boat out today, or the raft, or is that drift boat kind of sitting more back, you know, as a collector's item sort of thing in the garage?
Yeah, the drift boat hasn't been out as much as the raft has. But I'm going to go take it and I want to go do a bass trip with it. We did, you know, we did trout in our first two trips with it. I really want to go get it on a bass river. So that's kind of my next plan, as I'm working on putting a trip together to go take it and film us bass fishing out of it.
Oh, nice.
And then I don't really know. I'm not sure what I want to do with it. I do really, my next purchase is, and I hope my wife isn't listening to this. I'm just kidding. She knows. I do want to buy like a river skiff. Like a real flat. I personally still am a huge proponent of the raft. If I'm ever going to go on any big water, anything that's kind of going to, you know, if I'm looking at taking a bow wave and some kind of bigger water, I just feel a lot more comfortable and confident in my raft. Versus, I do want a river skiff. I mean, they row so nice, you know, stay out of the wind. I can put a bigger motor on it. Pretty much all of the pros of your column are what I'm looking for. And so ultimately, you know, it does kind of stink for most people, but feel like having a raft and a drift boat.
Yeah, that's right.
Is the way to go. And so that is my next purchase that I'm on the lookout for, is a river skiff.
Yeah, that's right. That's the take home message, is I think it is the, you got to have both, you know,
and
even though I don't have both, I had a sweet raft back in the day that I sold, and I've just kind of kept the drift boat going. But I agree. I think if you had both, you kind of cover everything. So that's good.
Yep.
Well, let's take it out here. This is with our a fly of the week segment and shout out here. So we're going to give a shout out to Trout Routes today, because they're basically helping present this episode. And then we're going to talk about maybe a couple flies in your area. But let's give it Trout Routes. Do you know Trout Routes? Do you use Trout Routes? Is that something, do you know much about the features on that app they have?
Yeah, absolutely. They actually helped us out with our drift boat film that we did here. And so we got a pro membership for the Trout Routes app, and we've definitely used it.
Nice. And what was the, when you guys were using it, what was there a feature in there that you loved using, you know, over others?
Yeah, I don't even know if there's one over others. There's a couple that I really like. The biggest one is that they have a lot of the boat ramps listed, and then you can draw a line on the map to see exactly how many river miles your float's going to be.
All right.
So, like, you know, even if it's not a really well-known, you know, ramp-to-ramp kind of thing, so that you know how many river miles, you can track it. You can download the map offline so that you can have it on your, you know, I mean, that's happened to me a ton is, you know, you're sitting there, you're asking your buddies, well, how much longer do we have left? And you kind of have to know, like, all right, do we need to push? Do we need to, can we fish harder?
Yeah.
Do we have time to anchor up and fish these holes? And so just having that thing kind of mapped out and then watching it offline as you're floating, if you're on a piece of water that you don't know, like the back of your hand, is pretty cool. So I like that. And then I know you can, you know, every different place, you know, dam or tailwater stuff has CFS where you can go see like releases and all that stuff. But Trout Routes has it all in one spot, which is pretty nice because you just open the app, click the different rivers instead of having to go to, you know, three or four different companies or power dam companies or whatever. They have them all consolidated into one app. So that's also really nice.
That is nice. Nice. Yeah.
Those are the two things I love.
Those are huge. So, and that's Trout Routes, and yeah, and they have a bunch of other features. They also have something, some big news coming up. I'm not sure. They may have announced it by, you know, once this goes live, but that's going to be huge. I think, you know, from where they are, they've already been doing great, but they got some other big things coming here. So that'll be fun to see that roll out as well. So good shout out to Trout Routes. So for the fly of the week, let's go back to that a little bit. We talked on that last one, some bass flies. So let's bring in real quick to maybe streamers. And what would you throw out there if somebody was going to pick up a couple of your flies? Do you have any top selling streamer patterns for kind of the West that you would recommend?
Yeah, we sure do. Well, so we kind of break some of our flies now. We have more of like that Sculpin style, which has been selling really well, especially with runoff coming up here. Our Madison Sculpin does extremely well. Our Sculparino is one of our top-selling flies, period. But it's an awesome Sculpin pattern available in three colors. Or if you want something that's like a little bigger and swimmy, our Meemaw is one of the best, is one of our top bait fish flies, whether you're bass fishing or trout fishing. If you want to throw some bigger meat at fish, that Meemaw is one of our favorites.
The Mima. Okay, perfect. So we'll get some links out to that so we can take a look. And then, and if people want to pick some of those flies up, they can just go to bluelionflies.com. And so good. And I think we're touching on a lot of the pieces I wanted to hit on today, but let's go back to maybe takeaways from, you know, what we talked about today as far as the boat build out, the raft versus drift boat, that whole thing. What are the key takeaways, do you think, from what we talked about as far as somebody listening now, they want to get a boat? It could be even building a boat, but what do you think would be from our conversation, maybe a couple of big takeaways?
Yeah, yeah. I think if you're young and you have, you know, you don't have the money, but you have the time, maybe try to find you a wooden drift boat that you can rebuild, that, you know, you can put the sweat equity into. If you have a job and a kid and you don't have very much time on your hands, do not do that.
No, do not do that.
Because the time that I spent invested in this boat and on Google and trying to figure out, you know, how to do this stuff was way harder than if I just bought a boat. So yeah, right. Don't mess with that. Money-wise, I think, you know, maybe try to find one or two of your buddies to go in on a boat if you're, you know, if you've got a core of fishing friends, and, you know, you got two or four guys or, you know, who are interested, who you fish with, and y'all are interested in getting a boat, you know, try to find a cheaper boat that y'all can all go in on. That way you got, you know, multiple places you could maybe store it, multiple, you know, people to learn how to row so that you can actually get the fish out of your boat. You know, that would be a big recommendation on my end for that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think we covered the raft versus drift boat pretty heavily.
Good. Well, let's take it out here and two quick ones, then we'll get out of here. So, you know, again, this is kind of always the fun one, the West versus the East, but you are, you know, the bass out East definitely dominates, but we have bass are all over the country. Do you do any bass fishing out in the West at all? Have you guys dug into that, or do you stick more with trout?
You know, it's, since I've been here for like 6 years, it's been more so trout in the out West. And I get my bass fixes by going back to the South. So when I'm, you know, I go back to the South for, you know, a week or whatever at a time, couple times a year, you know, so I kind of get my bass fix back east. But it is something that I'm more and more interested in. I'm actually planning to start really dialing in the Western bass fishing over the next couple of years. Not that trout was almost a little bit like a novelty for me when I moved out here. So it's just now kind of starting to wear off. And I'm now finding myself more and more, instead of like, oh man, I want to go fish every cool trout river that there is that's, you know, near me, after 6 years of doing it. And now I'm starting to be like, all right, I'm, you know, let's start finding some other stuff. So that's definitely coming up for me.
Okay. All right. Perfect. And we've been doing a kind of a beginner to fly fishing kind of series here a little bit. But if you start to think about that, maybe somebody calls you, you know, and they're calling you to get some flies or whatever, but they're new to fly fishing. They're thinking about getting into it. And if you go back to your beginner self when you started, if you can think back in that day, you know, what would be the tip you would give yourself back then getting started, or you'd give somebody now if they're, you know, if they're brand new to fly fishing?
Oh, man.
I know that's a big one.
That is a big one. There's, yeah, I could go on for another 2 hours on this one. Truthfully, probably the one thing that I would say as a guide as well is that if you cannot get out on the water, like if, you know, most of us, we've got either jobs, kids, or whatever's going on, but you want to pick up fly fishing, all you got to do is buy whatever kind of kit you've got. Take your rod and put it together in your garage, by your back door, whatever, and go practice your cast. You're never going to be very happy with your performances on the water if you can't cast. And as a beginner, if you're not going a ton, you know, you're only practicing your casting while you're fishing. That means you're practicing your cast probably an hour a month, you know, however long you get to fish. Versus if you would spend 15 minutes in a park by your house, in the street of your neighborhood, in your backyard, if you would practice for 15 minutes a couple of times a week, that will make your on-the-water experiences so much better. And so that would be my number one tip, is whatever that fly line that came with your rod is, just go absolutely ruin it. Casting in the yard, in the parking lot, and, you know, wherever, get to where you can, you know, cast a little better. Watch some good YouTube videos while you're out there. You know, cast for 5 minutes, watch a YouTube video, cast for 5 minutes, and do that a couple times a week. The pleasure that you get out of fishing, it's going to be way more when you actually do get to go on the water, you get to fish, you're going to be way more prepared to actually have a good time.
That's it. No, I love that advice. And that's something that definitely we've heard of before on the practice. And, you know, Tim Ray, Jeff, I know, was on recently. We talked about that, and lots of big names. So that's a great tip. And I think like you said, if there's a fly shop nearby, or if there was, you know, that would be a good place to stop. But if you don't have something like that, yeah, YouTube, you could probably track down somebody who's got the qualifications to do that. So awesome, Adam. Well, I think that's a perfect way to wrap this one up. I love the beginner helping people get into this. So like we said, we'll send everybody out to bluelineflies.com if they have questions or want to pick up some flies and connect with you. And yeah, man, this has been another good one. I appreciate your time today, and looking forward to keeping in touch and seeing the next build out or the next project you have going.
Yeah, well, thanks so much. The Isuzu is still not currently operable because of some of the things we're doing to it. That's my next build project. But I've got a couple more ideas in the works, so I don't know why I'm like this, but
you love it. You got to always have it. Sounds like you always need a big you need a big project. Is that kind of how you work always?
Yeah, that is how I operate. So my wife is a saint, so huge shout out to her for understanding that. But thanks for having me on, Dave. It was awesome to talk to you again. Loved talking about rafts and drift boats. I know a lot of people have questions about those. That's always a hot topic that we get asked about. So that was fun.
We survived the battle. What would be your choice right now? If you get a chance, leave a comment on Instagram on the post for this episode and let us know if you have a drift boat, if you have a raft, if you have any thoughts on this and what your take is and what you would be choosing now if you had to pick up a boat. Please follow this show. You can do that really quick on Apple Podcasts by clicking that plus button or whatever app you're using. Just follow the show and you'll get that next episode delivered right into your inbox. That next episode is going to be the Great Lakes Dude. Jeff is back. He's going to take us into the Great Lakes again next week, and you don't want to miss that one. So follow the show and you will get updated right in your phone when that goes live. If you're interested in school events and connecting more with listeners of this podcast, you can do that real easily. Go to wetflyswing.com/schools, schools with an S, and that'll show you what we have going on this year, coming up, what we've done in the past. And I wanted to highlight one right now. We're kicking off Muskie Week on May 13th. Muskie Week kicks off, and we're going to be giving away a spot to head over with the Muskie Fool, Dan and his crew. We're going to be doing that. So May 13th, we kick off the giveaway. If you are interested in saving a spot, a paid spot for that, you can send me an email, dave@wetflyswing.com. And I'll let you know what we have for availability for that trip coming up this year. All right, I'm going to let you get out of here. Thanks again for stopping by and checking out the show today. Hope you have a great morning, a great afternoon, or a great evening, wherever in the world you are. And looking forward to seeing you and talking to you on that next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Wet Fly Swing Fly Fishing Show. For notes and links from this episode, visit wetflyswing.com.